I just want to share a couple of things he's put on my heart. He says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Zion is God's holy mountain. That's God's people. We right now are blowing the trumpet in the churches. We're blowing a sounding, a warning to prepare to God's people. First it comes to us. If you want to turn to Joel, I'm giving you a little review of, or a preview before we get to Joel 2. We're going to be in Joel 2. But before we get to Joel 2, God says there is a day of darkness coming, gloominess, fire devouring, desolate wilderness. The earth will quake and the heavens will tremble. These are some of the visions we've been having. And the Lord, I love this. We spent, I don't know how long, was it months or whatever, I have no concept of time, going through this armor of God and a new revelation. God just opened it up. He was telling us to get on this armor of God, which is basically wearing God in every part, walking in God, letting God be released. And in Joel 1:11, he says, the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Who's the army? It is the ones that are wearing the armor. Many are called, but few are chosen. Who's been putting on that armor that we studied? If you haven't been putting on that armor, get back on the website and go through those armor lessons. If you have been putting on the armor, it's getting a little rusty, go back on the website and go through the armor lessons and shine it up. Because God is going to utter his voice to the army. That's the prepared people. That's the ones that are walking with him. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word. How does God execute his word today? Through us. We're his voice on this earth. We need to hear what he's saying. All through Joel and all through these things that we've been hearing, there are two things. There is the warnings of God of the judgments that are coming because of the condition that our world is in. But there's also the invitation of God. And that is our part, to put out the invitation. We need to put out the warning to get ready. But God's heart is that people come to the invitation of turning their life to God and finding mercy. You don't need to turn here, but I just want to mention Jeremiah 49:19b. And again in 50:44b, he says, who is that chosen man? Who is like me? How can we be like God? No one is like God. But that's what the whole armor study was. Wearing his righteousness. Moving in prayer. Letting God live through us. God says, who is like me? Who will let me live in them? Who's that chosen one that I can stand before my people? Who will appoint me the time? I love the word appoint, because God's appointment calendar is wide open. He'll fit you in wherever you have time. It's our appointment calendars that are too full. We're going, well, let me see. I got 30 minutes. I can go to prayer this morning. And then we pour our hearts out. We make all our requests. Sometimes we even praise and worship, and then we look at our watch and go, got to get to work. We don't let him have any time to talk. We don't wait before him and hear what he's saying. And to do that, we need to make an appointment with God. Unlimited time appointment. Do you have any space in your calendar and in your time where you can say, God, I want to hear everything you have to say to me. I'm going to pour out my heart, tell you my needs, worship you, praise you, ask you to heal me, all those things, and he will do it. But then will we stay and wait and listen and find out what's on his heart, on his mind? When is that appointed time? Maybe it's between 3 and 6 a.m. Maybe our lives are too busy for anything but the night watch, 3 to 6 a.m. When he said that, it almost scared me, because I already get so little sleep, you know. I go to bed at 11, Harvey talks till midnight, and then I get up at 5. So I'm going, oh my gosh. If he calls me to the night watch, I won't get any sleep, you know. But if that's all we have, maybe that's why he calls us to a night watch. Our days are just too crowded. A couple of things in, and I'm not giving you this whole message. It actually was planned for another time. So I'm just pointing a few verses out to you. Let's go to Joel 2. I think we'll start in 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Have you noticed lately how solemn some of the words are that God's bringing here? God is calling this assembly into a serious time. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Sanctify means to set apart. We can't just be a congregation of bless me people, like a lot of the world is, just all God can do for me, bless me, I need to pay my rent, I need a new car, you know, please fix my marriage. We have to separate from what the world is doing. Separate from even what the churches are doing unto what God is doing right here.
Amen.
Into what he's doing right here.
There you go.
Separate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Elders will be assembling again on the first Monday in April, very, very soon. Please be in prayer. What does God want to say to the elders? Gather the children. It's been on our heart here to begin bringing the children together and bringing serious lessons to them. This morning, we talked about truly knowing God and the difference in his great big heart and our little tiny heart and all of our thoughts, but his thoughts that are higher. Coming into true relationship as a child with God. Gather the children. He didn't mean bring them in, have a circus, and give them candy bars. Gather them unto God in a real way. Does it sound like what he's doing here lately? Warnings, invitations, instructions, gathering the children, separating ourselves. Even those that suck the breast, even the babies. I can't get a sitter, so I can't come. Bring the children. We have microphones, and they don't. We can get louder. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chambers and the bride out of her closet. You know, a lot of times people, you know, other verses where they're called to the dinner, and they say, but I just married a wife. I'm on my honeymoon. Forget the honeymoon. Come out. The bride and the bridegroom is speaking to all of us. And it's speaking of Christ and the church. It isn't a time to have your life hidden over here because I just got married and, you know, I'm all focused on my marriage and I can't come join what God is doing right now. He said, no, it's time.
Amen.
It's time for us to come together.
Right.
Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people? Yeah, the Lord will answer and he will say to his people, behold, I send you corn and wine and oil. And you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Now, as God speaks, there's two things that he's doing. He's inviting his people to join him. I skipped 17, didn't I? No, it's not. I skipped it, and it's not okay. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. In the porch and the altar, we kind of see that as there are people that are just coming into church, maybe not even saved, some babies just saved, some backslidden just coming back. They aren't ready for some of this real serious stuff, maybe, but we need to be praying to bring them closer wherever they are.
Amen.
Come closer.
Amen.
All the way to those who are already at the altar, thrown their whole life down in full surrender. You need to be praying for them.
Amen.
The attacks on them are getting stronger and stronger. You can't just say, well, leave it on that team. If you're not on the team, you need to be praying for that team.
Amen.
But ministers, priests, those who are called to that holy place of intercession, you need to be a part of the team so that you know what's going on and he can move on you to pray into it. Why would we need to pray? God, spare your people. O Lord, do not give your heritage to reproach that the heathen should rule over them. Why, wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? When all this dark, thick darkness and destruction is coming into this world, they should know where God is. His light should be shining so bright in that darkness that they're not saying, we don't see a Christian over here down there crying and begging for mercy from the enemy because he's scared. We should see men standing in the power of God saying, come to the Lord. He's right here. They should wonder why we still have a smile on our face when everyone else is in despair. God does not want us to be a reproach during the time of trials. He wants us to be a light.
Amen.
You know, when the kids this morning were saying, you know, what are your thoughts? What do you think about? And, oh, I am thinking about, all the way from the oldest to the youngest, the first answers were pretty much video games, building things, playing, singing, dancing, all the way down to Remy, who kept saying, cars too, cars too. Every question, his answer was, cars too. That's our thoughts. All about this world, this earth, my life, what I like, what I don't like. But his thoughts are higher than ours. We don't know his thoughts unless we are listening to his written word, his spoken word. We need to come together. God is speaking. He's sharing his thoughts. But who's listening?
Amen.
We need to be listening, appointing him the time. There's going to be fear. There's going to be all kinds of stuff going on. But there is provision. There's restoration. There's salvation. And many who would not turn to him when everything is great, when the video games and TVs are broken and blown up, then maybe they'll have time to turn to God. We need to be there. There's going to be a great outpouring. And when he went into the... I actually lost my notes. When he went into the end times, words that were given about the spirit of Elijah coming. I had that in my notes. I don't know where it went. Oh, I just found it. I started a page late here. I was actually going to share that part tonight, I guess, at the 3 o'clock. The spirit of Elijah is always sent before Jesus is coming to do something. The spirit of Elijah comes through God's people who begin to prepare for the coming of the Lord. They prepare the way of the Lord. And that is the spirit he wants to pour out here now, a spirit of Elijah, so that we can be the voice of God crying in this wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. He's coming. Prepare the way of the Lord. He's coming. Father, we just love you. We thank you. You know, so many times our prayers are based on our needs, and you meet the need, like Janiah said, and we go away. And we come back when we need. But Lord, we don't want to go away. We want to stop going away.
Amen.
We want to thank you and love you and worship you, not only for what you do, but for who you are.
Right.
And we've only seen glimpses of who you are, and you are so amazingly beautiful in your holiness. We want to worship you in your holiness. We want to love you in your goodness, your gentleness, your kindness, your mercy, your truth. But Lord, we also want to know how to stand in your power, in the grace, and in the power of the brightness of your glory, calling people unto repentance. We want to be able to stand when others are falling away. We want to be prepared. We don't any longer just want to run in and out. We want to run in and stay in, God. We want to stay inside of you so you can live inside of us. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.